The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions of the staff or management of Visionary Related Entertainment.
I was drawn to a place in the sun with the ocean and mountain sky.
Aloha, I'm your host Ori Kopelman of the Maui Topia Show with my co-host.
Aloha, Cindy Palos. Happy spring, first day of spring.
Yay.
Spring equinox.
And I want to first read the definition of Maui Topia. Maui Topia will be an ideal utopian society of the future. A first-of-its-kind place in the world on the scale of over 100,000 people where, thanks to technology, all of us have our survival needs met of food, clothing, and shelter while pursuing our individual self-actualization. A place where we'd find true happiness by each contributing our unique gifts to the community. A place where we can all coexist in peace and harmony with no crime and where we can all help each other grow and succeed. Maui Topia's free market economics will be based on regulated capitalism and make the island a real paradise, Maui truly no ka'oi. In Maui Topia, we all win as we serve the rest of the world as a model of the society of the future.
And, Ori, it's hard to believe this is the 12th week of your show. Ori Kopelman has spent 25 years helping companies develop technology rapidly. He's lived on Maui for 20 years. He founded a management consulting firm in 1992 in Northern California. It was called Global Brain, and it taught clients worldwide the QRPD, Quality Rapid Product Development Methodology. This resulted in companies thriving through developing products in half the time at half the cost with substantially less pain, less corporate dysfunction, and more profit. A former Silicon Valley executive as vice president of engineering, Ori helped Mountain Computer grow tenfold in 6 years to 500 employees. He taught at Stanford University's Continuing Studies Program and at Berkeley's Extension for 15 years. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in electrical and computer engineering with distinction from Stanford University. Having grown up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and in Israel, Ori speaks English, Hebrew, German, and French. He has a high school state tennis doubles champion, and he was a high school state tennis doubles champion. Ori spent a decade with the Rotary Club of Maui and chaired the polling station in Kula for several elections, and Ori has engaged in personal growth since 1990, including meditation, and believes in transformation through heightened awareness. He attends Grace and Unity churches on Maui and lives with his wife Sally and cats Eva and Calvin in Kahului.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
That's all on a business card.
Right. I think this is actually the 24th show.
Is it the 24th?
Yeah, if you include the fall.
Oh, yeah. I was just including this time slot, right?
Yeah, right. So in the fall, we did the Monday morning. Yeah, anyways. This week's Maui Topia show is called Real Power. Mm. And I'd like to discuss the types of power and their influence. So first of all, there's individual power. So it's based on physical strength, or part of it can be based on physical strength. For example, in my case, I was a state champion when I was 18 in Michigan for tennis. It can also be based on financial power, which is based on having money, which I have now, some now, and for example, can finance this radio show, which can allow me to pursue my dreams. A second type of power is group, organization, or state. So, first type of group is a company, like Apple Computer, which makes products like the iPod and are worth billions of dollars. A second group of people is a country, like the U.S., and we put a man on the moon in 1968, and thanks to military strength, won the Cold War against Russia in the 1980s. although the big bear, or Mother Russia, is rumbling again with Putin's illegal land grab of Crimea this week, and possibly here we go again, as in this escalation, the Russian army has already killed 2 Ukrainian servicemen. We see Hitler and the Nazis' kind of power as evil, and while it may have had influence for a while, thank God it didn't last. Third type of power is selfish or unselfish, i.e., it's all about me or it's all about we. And a fourth type, I don't know if any of you have ever read the book by Gary Zukav called The Seat of the Soul, where he talks about power being authentic or inauthentic, or it's authentic if it's lined up with your soul's true purpose. Go ahead, Gary.
I haven't heard that song in years.
It's a good one, huh?
Yeah, Gloria Gaynor, huh? Gloria Gaynor. You know, that of course, that brings up the subject of power and power struggles between couples.
Right.
Which is, they typically say that after 6 months in a relationship that power struggles begin. And it can be a major thing that can go on actually for years. And it can break up a lot of relationships.
Yeah, what I've read is on average it goes 6 years. And yeah, then only half the couples make it past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like who's the one in charge, right?
Calling the
who's
shots.
The one that, yeah, and I mean, it can be from anything as small as who's holding the remote control.
Right.
It's usually the man in a relationship, if it's a man-woman relationship.
That's the woman's point of view.
I think if we did a study, I think they actually could prove that most men want control and have the power of that TV or the remote control.
Well, boy, I'm going to get in trouble here because I think women have their way of controlling, which is less blatant, less obvious.
You know, it's so hard to generalize, but every relationship is different. There's passive-aggressive tendencies, which is a way of controlling without an actual confrontation, but still,
right,
it can be much more insidious, I think, in a passive-aggressive situation.
Yes.
But there is always this, like, okay, who is the one that makes the decisions? And, ideally, I think you start out and you don't think about that in a relationship, but you can kind of tell the tendency. Hmm. You can kind of tell the tendencies, and when you see couples, you can see. I do a lot of weddings as a minister. I can usually tell within
who's
about 5 minutes. Yeah, who's the one? Who's the one that's kind of walks in front, does the way, says what's going to happen?
Right.
You know,
right?
Yeah,
and or if it's a real partnership.
Yeah, or if it's a real partnership.
Have you seen those?
I have, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much.
Yeah.
I have to say that I see more of one person being in control, and a lot of times you'll see this even in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's like a couple of birds, you know, you'll see one bird who's the one that's kind of wanting to, you know, tell the other. In horses and animals, it is not just humans. There is always this kind of who's the boss that happens in nature as well, I think.
Well, this is actually a perfect segue because my next comment was going to be that one point of view is that power has been all about trying to survive as an individual or as groups. And we are shifting to surviving as a species.
Well, then there's the herd instinct, you know, and there is always, I mean, you know, it's been in the United States consciousness for a long time that you've got to have a very strong leader and you have to prove you're strong by coming on strong. I mean, in cases like Reagan or even with Bush, we will, you know, bring it on. Remember that? Bring it on, right? The thing, yeah. You know, it's like you weren't really saying
cowboy.
Bring it on. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, in Bush's case, yeah, and Reagan, both cowboys, right? I mean, there is that image of a cowboy kind of being a kind of guy in control, powerful.
And yet, this is up for debate, but I think that thanks to Reagan, we won the Cold War against the former Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there may have been some positives to the way he acted.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think that's the way we want to behave in Mauitopia.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to be beyond survival-oriented thinking. And again, my point of view is that a lot of the current behavior is, particularly the negative behavior, is based on people erroneously thinking that they're trying to survive.
You know, if you threaten someone, you watch what happens. I mean, it's like, you know, just like if a dog feels threatened or something, you know, the intention sometimes means that some people will feel like they have to have a gun in their house. Because no one's going to come into their territory, you know, they'll defend themselves, you know, at all costs. And they feel like if they have a gun, that means they can protect their castle, their home, their thiefdom,
right,
their place of power, their territory,
yes,
right? And it goes back to, I think, even the caveman consciousness in people.
They didn't have guns in caveman days.
No, but
they
had big clubs. They didn't walk softly even. They carried a big club. And, it was like who had the strongest club, right? And, I mean, it wasn't until later the intelligence started to dominate who won, mm-hmm, more than the strength, right?
Yes, but it's still really about survival.
Which is
kind of silly.
Yeah, and it is, except...
I mean, it's not silly that we survive as a species.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's silly that we're fighting against each other to survive.
Well, because the basic, if you follow the real thread of what's happened every time there's been a battle for that, it's been a lot of deaths involved.
Right.
And basically, no country survives forever. There's changes that are going to be happening.
And again,
and society, same thing.
And again, thank God I did not live during the time of the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that those people lost the war.
Of course. And who wouldn't say that? I mean, that's true. And
Nazi Germany, or the Third Reich, does not exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the few threats that didn't go underground and come. Oh, I guess there are still people that wear the Nazi insignia. I was going to say it didn't come back, but yeah, there are the neo-Nazis out there still.
And some people claim, and again, this is not the subject of the show, but some people claim that Putin is, in a way, trying to resurrect the old Soviet Union. And
well, he certainly, if you look at it, everything he exudes and tries to exude in his pictures and his attitude is that he's the strongest guy on the block.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that is, you know, what you do when you bring in all those troops is, again, it's a show of force. You know, it's we're threatening. You can't beat us. We'll do what we. You know, it is that same. You know, we're more powerful.
Right.
We're more powerful, and they are more powerful in this situation, of course, no doubt about it, than the Ukraine, and they are more powerful than a lot of countries that they're surrounding. So that's where the big threat comes in, and everyone says, well, if you're really going to do that and you're really going to use power in that way, where do you draw the line?
Mm.
You know, it's not like you can say the same thing in Syria saying, okay, this is the red line, you got to do this, you know. it's not going to be the same way, because we're not going to send troops into Russia. There's no way, you know.
Again, that's what I'm saying. It kind of is reminiscent of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a way, we're right back there again.
Mm-hmm.
30 years later, I was all happy growing up that, oh, I thought we won the Cold War.
There were some signs. if we were to go back and play, what is it today, Thursday, quarterback of what Putin was doing with some of the people he didn't like who complained about putting them in jail, killing people with poisons, and there were symbols and things that were happening that were definitely showing that he had in his consciousness that desire
for power.
For power, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, I'm saying per the show that's not real power.
No.
Because hopefully, like the Nazis, that kind of power will come to an end relatively soon, as far as history. But again, nobody knows how much damage Putin and his military will do meanwhile.
No, you don't. Because you don't, we're talking about him now. Because he has that power, we're able, and a lot, every newscast, we're talking about him, and there's talks of him.
Right.
So if you want power, that's one of the things you want, is everyone to be talking about you and thinking about you and discussing your every move. That's an ego-driven, to the nth degree, power-based ideas. You want everyone to be talking about you. You know, we're giving our energy right now in some form to Putin.
Right, which we want to stop doing that.
Yes.
We want to talk about Mao-utopia. And just, actually, I believe in that it's okay to talk about something that you don't want to talk about to draw a distinction.
Yeah.
To say, hey, we're going to talk about
the extreme.
Yeah,
it goes.
Something real power, not that kind of power.
Yeah. So what is real power to you?
Real power to me, again, is people who are in their own essence or are acting out their soul's true purpose in life.
So, for example, then, would we use Mahatma Gandhi, who was one small, little, frail Indian man who took on the British Empire?
Who used nonviolence.
Who used nonviolence.
Right.
And did not allow any violence in the way he did it.
And that was wonderful, although, again, I don't necessarily, even though it's very admirable and good, and he was definitely a great person, but I don't necessarily know that that's true for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had his particular role in life, and he performed it very well.
I think it's hardest to live with your power in everyday life with the loving kindness and still having the power. I mean, I think, you know, it's one thing to act it out on a world stage, but the reality is, how do you use power in your life? And do you run from it, or do you embrace it, and what way do you use it?
Well, again, my idea would be that you use it to help the fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully everybody who today is coming into their true power is finding a power that helps the fellow human beings.
Well, and if we go
and
back...
Whether it's creating a company or creating new energies or doing whatever it is that they're called to do in their soul or in their particular lifetime, hopefully it's going to benefit all of mankind.
Yeah, well,
all
you know,
humankind.
And that's, it makes me think of solar power, affordable power. It's interesting we're trying to go to affordable power. Because in power, you know, when we're in our own power, we don't need to be egotistical. We don't need to be controlling. We are, you know, I think God is the greatest power. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think love is one of the greatest powers. But it is definitely the hardest thing to really live with. Aloha is a wonderful power, but, you know, it's to master that and use that is if you can be love-based and have a divine love-based consciousness, I mean, I think that is one of the greatest powers, you know.
No, I agree, although even that's tricky in terms
it's very tricky.
The definition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, if you were alive in Nazi times during World War II, would you vote?
Have turned the other cheek. Would you have done that? You know,
exactly. Or would you have voted to go to war against Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
Which, as you know, the United States was very reluctant to get involved. Yeah, like, hey, those guys in Europe, let them duke it out.
Right.
And we're staying out of it.
Right.
And there were a lot of Jews in this country that were saying, hey, they're killing thousands of our people in concentration. Well,
yeah.
At that point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was before the final solution in 1942, where they said, hey, you know, we should get involved and stop this madman, Hitler, right, who started with just a little piece, kind of like Putin in a way, right,
mm-hmm.
started with just Crimea, right, and now, you know, Ukraine's saying, hey, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so it's kind of deja vu all over again.
Yeah, and you know what, it will be, I think, in our planet. I don't think, because we have this situation of this Earth and this in our human nature, and maybe even in our DNA, I think it's going to be the world story for a long time.
Well, we've discussed this before, Cindy, and
mm-hmm.
actually I agree and I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I've mentioned before, over 1 billion people live in the Western world or modern world, and even though we have disagreements about things, we don't have physical wars with each other. So we've kind of evolved beyond that, and that's why I'm saying that the evil instinct, even though it may still exist, it's kept in check from a war point of view. I mean, we have criminals, certainly.
There's certainly a lot of wars. They're different. The wars are different now, but there's still wars going on. And again, we're in that situation now where we're looking at that and how that happens and what happens when the war is over. Again, we use Afghanistan of what's going there. It's disastrous what's happening. Just think this morning they closed down a highway, one of the major cities, which of course, you know, this was a war we couldn't win.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people said that. No, just like in Vietnam, it was a war we could not win.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you want to do the right thing and say you can't do this. But there are certain ways in certain wars that you just can't change people. And you're not going to change the people in Afghanistan and Iraq
fighting for
it's really
hundreds of years,
yeah. I mean, to go into the even Middle East, you know, the Middle East more than I do.
Mm.
You know you're raised
there. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, you don't change. How do you change the Middle Eastern consciousness versus, you know, with what's going on in Palestine versus Israel? Because you have two kinds of consciousness that will, even if in their best sense, in individuals can be overcome, but as a country, it becomes so much more difficult, you know. But it is a different, there are different energies, and I think, you know, we have these races that are always going to have to work this struggle out. But I think the good thing is, and I've been thinking about this a lot, sometimes by having a negative force, the positive force has to become more positive.
Mm.
And I think that by having these conflicts, I mean, people are called to bring out the better selves. We tend to be complacent. We tend to be very complacent if we're just in a comfortably numb zone where everything is fine. There is this thing called the comfort zone. You know the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
If it's comfortable enough, you aren't necessarily called to do more than you're comfortable with. But it's not until you have this situation where you're saying, no, I've got to do more, because if I don't, then that negative force will take over.
Yeah, and again, hopefully we're at a time in history where lots of people are getting in touch with their truer or soul self and discovering what it is that they are here to do, to, if you will, act against. You don't even have to act against the negative force. You have to just
stand up for the positive.
Exactly.
I mean, this is happening with the GMO situation locally. We can see that. That's a thing that's been going on, the GMOs versus the people that say we don't want the GMOs. Mm-hmm. And I think there always will be people who have their beliefs that want it one way, which could be perceived as a negative because it does so much harm. And then those who are for the positive who preferably wouldn't even want to go and have to take the time to hassle and put the energy out to stop that negative. But if you don't stop the negative will win.
Right, so you don't want that to happen. But I think there will be lots of cases where there are disagreements where it's not exactly clear who ends up being right.
And having that disagreement may not be that bad.
I mean,
no, having a disagreement isn't bad at all.
Except if it involves killing, it's bad because mm-hmm. that means only one of the two parties survives the debate.
And in our system, it can be winning through intimidation or lawsuits or threats that could win without violence, but they still could win because they have enough money. Mm. Or threats or power or the right amount of lawyers that they can win even if they aren't in the right, even if you do have discussions. And you know, in court, you're supposed to be able to solve this, but you and I may not have exactly the same beliefs, but I believe if you have enough money and enough lawyers, you have a much better chance of winning than if you don't.
I agree with you about that.
And what does that say then? You know, that says that it's the money that's creating what you can win.
Well, unfortunately, again, that we're still living in a time where money and power is what rules the world.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, currently the money and power, which is Western world-based, is winning in terms of being stronger than the evil forces that are out there currently. Now, that I think that needs to continue being the case, although one of the things we want to do with Mauitopia is to create a society of the future that hopefully the rest of the world will someday emulate, because I think you and I have discussed this, that there's a possibility that the rest of the world ends up having World War III.
And you know what? I think for a long time we never even thought that was possible. I mean, part of me thought, oh, you know, we're at the point in our civilization where this can be worked out through countries coming together, and maybe not even the UN, but when they have the economic, mm-hmm. you know, gatherings, the money does have power, and so economic sanctions and economic need would control a lot of what countries would do if they wanted to get our money. We'd give them enough money, keep them from doing things we didn't want them to do. This is not the case right now.
Mm-hmm.
So now people are going, wow, maybe in this case, money won't do the job. And if money isn't enough of a bribe to be, you know, it wasn't enough of a bribe in Afghanistan either. Think of the billions of dollars spent in Afghanistan. What good did it do in the long run except billions and billions of dollars spent?
Well, again, the only good thing is girls can go to school.
That hopefully will continue.
Right.
I mean, but there are those in power over there that don't want that to happen still.
Correct.
You know, I mean, it's like, wow, these people still
don't
want
the rest of the world is still trying to become modern, other than the Western world,
mm-hmm.
the billion out of 7 billion people.
I mean, who would have thought, was it Malala? The girl that was shot and continued to fight for standing up for going to school, you know. I mean, here was a girl who was shot because she was trying to stand up for other girls to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she had the courage and strength, and she had to go through being shot and her face and go through all that. And her friend, a lot of people don't mention her friend went through the same thing. And because she was strong enough, she was able to set an example for other people to stand up. But again, here was someone who was pushed way beyond what you'd ever think you'd want to be pushed to be able to take a stand.
And that's why, again, hopefully we're not going to have to do things like she did,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we're using things like NVC or nonviolent communication, because there are always struggles between even couples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And between corporations. You have these days you have mediators to mediate differences.
Mm-hmm. And you have negotiators. I mean, Henry Kissinger was considered a great negotiator.
That's true.
Why? I've never quite understood, but he was considered a great negotiator. And when it comes down to it, anyone who can really negotiate is an extremely powerful person. If someone really is a good negotiator, they have a lot of power, right?
Yes. And friends.
mm-hmm. I would hope friends. I mean, maybe because people want to be on the side of someone who can negotiate something that they can't get for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a way, that's what isn't what lobbyists do.
Yes.
But of course, their main power is money.
Hmm. Right. Which is again not the way I'd like to see us do things in the future. But again, that has been the way we've been doing things. Now, one of the things we're going to do is open up the phone lines in a minute and offer to give people a free lunch. I'll buy them a free lunch at a restaurant of their choice on Maui. And I had a very enjoyable lunch yesterday with the person, Tom, who won a couple weeks ago, or last week.
He wanted to go where?
Café au lait in Kihei.
Upstairs, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Which was really enjoyable.
Oh, what'd you have to eat? You can't remember.
The special of the day, which
oh,
I...
Oh, okay.
the daily special, which I believe was...
Usually it's fish.
No, he had to fish, actually. Uh-huh. I had... it was a steak with rice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's good food.
It was very good food.
Yeah.
Yes, and then we shared a dessert. Uh-huh. Although we were both trying to be disciplined and just have one spoon, but...
That's nice. That's sweet.
So we're going to open up the phone lines for people to call in about their point of view on real power.
What's real power, huh?
Or to complain about people in power.
Who are abusing
preferably,
power? The abuse of power, maybe?
Including an abuse of power, but mm-hmm. just in power, period. Maybe they're not abusing power. Maybe you're just disagreeing with what they're doing being in power. Because the fact is they are in power, so therefore mm-hmm. they have some ability to exert it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, again, you're welcome to talk about anywhere in the world, but we would prefer that you call up here on Maui since we're trying to create Mauitopia.
So that would even include subjects that's a hot topic right now about Nelden and the county and what's going on with Maui Watch, and he's saying that the county did this to him and that he's suing the county and the county's saying that to them, and it's becoming a very hot topic. The other hot topic, of course, is GMOs. And what's going on with GMOs is also still a hot topic, you know. There's always, you know, the issues of women helping women, what they're doing to try to help the women. This tomorrow on Friday in Makawa, the theme of tomorrow's Friday in Makawa is, I think, power for women, or women, you know, recognizing women, which is, I thought, great. I mean, I couldn't believe they came up with that. But it was based around, they're also going to have a silent auction raising money for the family of Charlie. So that was, I mean, nice to see that that's happening. I happen to know very well, you know, that women helping women come up across this situation with power and abuse of power in relationships with men and women. They deal with this every day, every day, every day. So really, is someone, I thought I saw the light flash, but no. Okay, 242-7800. It was my mind flashing. Oh. I was having a flashback. 242-7800. It can be about power. What do you think real power is? And the best call will get a lunch of their choice anywhere, any restaurant on Maui. We have to say on Maui. And it'll be treated to you by Ori.
Right.
Ori Coleman. Who's going to take you to lunch at your restaurant, which is a very generous offer. I just want to say, really appreciate
well,
that.
Well, thank you, but I also had a very enjoyable time myself.
Of
so
course,
yeah.
It's interesting because, I mean, sometimes we don't get a chance to meet other people out there and get their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able to really find out what's going on with other people's point of view when you get more.
Yeah, Tom has been here a long time. We have a call?
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
How are you today?
Claudia.
Hi, Claudia.
I do have a tentative date with Ori. Hi, Ori.
Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm listening to your show and enjoy it very much.
I'd love to hear your point of view on power and what real power is.
Thank you. Well, I just have to say that my idea, ever since I became about 40, was to, if I marry, then my husband will have one home, you know, maybe a big mansion, but half of the house is mine, the other half is his.
Mm.
And then...
Do you have to clean the whole house?
He can decorate however he likes, and then he comes to my house for dinner and or for our date or to hang out and watch TV at my house. You know, we go up to my room or he uses my bathroom.
Wow.
You know, the whole thing is mine and then the whole thing is... And I think balancing power in any relationship like that is a very good idea.
You know what? I like that idea, Claudia.
I pretty much have come to the same conclusion myself.
I really like that idea. So you'd have to clean up only your part, not his part, right?
Yeah.
And I was in agreement, right?
He'd have to do his own laundry as well?
Well, I've always said that even my friends, I do not have business relationship with them, but with a husband, I might say, okay, you pay me, honey, and I'll clean up.
I like that. And well, who buys the groceries?
Well, no, you have your kitchen.
And you buy your own groceries?
In your own home, mm-hmm. You know, and then he has his, and
wow.
He buys his. Yeah, there's none of that going on.
Well, that's pretty equal. I like that idea of equal power, and that gives you a different playing field, doesn't it?
I think it does, because, you know, to each his own lifestyle. My daughter and her husband, they both work in separate jobs, and, you know, you come and go, and then you make a date. You use a telephone,
wow.
You know, or your email, and you say, let's go to dinner at so-and-so. Ooh, good year. You know, or I don't know. Personally, I love a dominating man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do. A man who just tells me what to do at every moment makes me completely happy.
We got to stop you there. Claudia, why do you like a dominating man?
Because it's a man. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a female, and mm-hmm. my mother and father made me. He's a man, mm-hmm. and his mother and father made him, but he's so much stronger and bigger and got whiskers and hairy body, and it's just so different than me that mm-hmm. I just kind of honor them. That's
so,
just me, though.
So do you think in a relationship there is something to this man being in control, that it's sexier if a man's in control? Is there an element of that if you're in a male-female relationship, I should say, is it sexier? Do you think that the woman has to surrender, that there's an element of surrendering the person to the other person? Do you sense that's part of what it's about in the relationship?
Well, I can only speak from a heterosexual point of view,
mm-hmm.
and I do honor, you know, all of the above and all of the around,
mm-hmm.
or the circle of transsexual beings on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I honor that. But as a heterosexual woman, I can only speak for myself again,
yeah.
Cindy. You know, but this is what I like.
No, I mean, I'm so glad you're being honest about this, Claudia, because it's a very interesting point. And then if you do this, you're kind of giving up the power struggle, and you've taken that out of the element with the idea of having your own separate places. What about
mother of five, you know.
Five?
Mother of five children.
Wow.
I'm like,
wow.
Yeah, you know, I really, I'm a woman, you know, and I love my womanhood. I just do.
And does he pay the bills, or do you pay the bills, or you each pay your own bills?
Well, of course you each pay your own bills. You live in separate
wow.
homes.
Wow, wow.
But you share each other's time and space.
But not joint bank accounts?
No.
Wow, interesting point. Wow, we might have to add this to Ori to Mauitopia.
Sure.
I
agree.
this might be a solution for a lot of problems.
Well, not to go too far into my own personal views on personal relationships, like romantic relationships, I am heterosexual, but I've always, having been through four marriages, I've been a fan of being like an oak and a willow that are strong and stand tall next to each other, but never in each other's shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Well, and there is, I think, a lot of truth when I do marriage ceremonies, part of the ceremonies, talking about, you know, you may be two souls joined as one, but you also have to grow separately. And if you don't grow each individually, you really don't have new things to add to any relationship. You have to each have your own life, or else you really aren't adding new things to a relationship. So I think you really need to have each individual strong in themselves and learning new things in themselves as well. To
and
add
have
to
a
this.
Space. Sometimes new things are painful.
Yeah.
Painful transitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a difference, I think, between codependence and also and being in an equal relationship, you know. And I think you described it beautifully, Claudia. You might have just won another lunch with Ori.
Well, I'm going to have to insist that his wife attend it.
Okay. I think you'd be charmed by her. She's a beautiful woman.
Oh, I couldn't wait. I can't wait, actually. I still have a tentative date, but I was a little uncomfortable after I found out that he was married.
Yeah.
There is,
and it's really, and you're so wise, because to put it out there and say that is just beautiful. It takes that off, even having to say anything about it. I really admire you, Claudia. I think that's wonderful. I think you could be vice president of Mauitopia.
Oh, cool. Well, hey, I'm going to run for
it. Okay, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for the call, Claudia.
That's an interesting, very interesting philosophy, and I do agree with it in a lot of ways. Mm. But I hate to say it, and I see a lot of, having a minister, I see a lot of people in marriages. There are times a lot of people get married, even though it's not clear. I do see a lot of times when it's a man and woman, that a lot of times the woman wants the money from the man. Although on Maui, there are a lot of men that like to find women
who will take care of them.
Who will take care of them. Right. And I see it very interestingly different here because there's a little bit more women, and women are becoming richer and stronger. And so there are a lot of men that want a woman to pay for them. So there is the element of money that comes into the factor of marriage as well.
Well, I have to confess that I've never had a woman take care of me. I'm 52 years old. I've been in four marriages.
But you already had money, so that was already part of the playing field.
There's women who have more money.
That's true. That's true. In fact, that came up, you know, with Sir Paul McCartney. Of course, he had a terrible divorce. He was taken for millions of dollars. I say taken, but
yeah,
it was a very controversial divorce. And here's someone who has everything you'd want in the world, you know, name, fame, power,
right,
money. And he was still looking for a relationship.
Mm.
And so he did find a woman who was extremely wealthy and an heiress on her own. And so it kind of took that out of the issue, are you marrying me for my money, which he had to look at because that is what had just happened to him, you know. He felt like that anyway, so.
And it's definitely, like I said, been very tricky in my situation.
Well, it is tricky because if someone, bottom line, really wants you for your money, then that is kind of, and some men don't mind if they have money, and the woman, and this happens, I think, when you get brides from Russia or other countries, and they're looking to come over, and they're beautiful, and they
and
don't mind. And
intelligent, yeah,
maybe not intelligent, maybe intelligent, but they find someone they want, and the man doesn't care if they want money,
mm-hmm,
because they want a trophy. They want a trophy piece, and someone who's good looking, who's willing to have sex with them. They don't mind spending the money, but the basis is they, even if they don't admit it, that there is money involved in those relationships.
Well, money is still part of life, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, quite often, I think, isn't it the greatest factor in divorces?
It is. Economics is the greatest factor. I think it is the greatest factor. And again, if money is power, that could be part of the issue as well. And you can call 242-7800 if you would like to chime in and what you think real power is, how that works out in anything from relationships to countries to Maui to countries, companies, you know, GMO situations, HCNS, anything that you think happens when you have a lot of money and powerful companies, people. Yeah, it's a factor in life. And we come up with this in Maui all the times with some of the original companies that were started in the 1800s that still have power and a base of power they established for a long time here.
Like A and B or?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. A and B is a very powerful, very powerful, very powerful force to reckon with here on Maui. No doubt about it, right? I mean, huge, yeah. And the number, oh, did I say 242-7800? And, and you could win a lunch. You could win a lunch with Ori. He'll take you to any restaurant you wish to go to.
On Maui.
Any restaurant on Maui, I'm sorry.
Restaurant on Maui. Preferably not in Hana.
Preferably not in Hana.
That's too far.
That you would like to go to. And that includes a lot of amazingly nice restaurants. Where would you go, Ori, if you were to win lunch with yourself, where would you take yourself for lunch?
For the view, I would ask to go to Mama's Fish House.
Yeah, Mama's is really
it's
good.
Really
for the view, it's hard to beat, right? Merriman's has an amazing view up there on the point in Kapalua.
I like that too.
But Mama's has that beach and the, you know, it's hard to beat it. And of course, the great food always, you know, and great service, you know, I mean.
Looks like we have another caller. Go ahead, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, this is Cindy and Ori.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
I didn't mean to get online.
Oh, you didn't want to talk on the air.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll give you back to Gary.
All right. Thank
okay.
You.
But you know, people get very shy about calling, and I can understand that. It's hard calling in and putting yourself on the line, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. But we love it when people do. So, please feel free. There's still about 8 minutes to call in.
Meanwhile, I'd like to read my platform, given
Please
that
do.
I did run for mayor.
Right, right, right.
And I said that the number one thing is to have our county government, be led by an efficient and effective organization or government run like a business. Number two, promote individuals earning their living by doing what they love to do and thereby serving the community and the world. Number three, encourage home-based businesses to facilitate raising children. Number four, put an end to crime so we can all feel safe and allow our creativity to blossom. Number five, make smart decisions for now and long-term. Number six, value every member of our society, including the disabled and our hopefully graciously aging senior citizens who now live longer and can actively contribute to our society. Number seven, promote an exclusive society, inclusive of everyone, that models the society of the future as we create Mauitopia. And the reason I believe I can lead the creation of Mauitopia is that I have published this booklet called Creating Mauitopia in 2010. It's available for free on the web at mauitopia.org. And you're welcome to go ahead and go download it. I have, in the past, lots of business experience that allows me to manage and lead projects and organizations. The largest project I worked on was actually the International Space Station, which when NASA called me down to Houston, our space station was way behind schedule. And the issue was the simulation, which was 300 people were trying to simulate exactly how the space station would be constructed in space. And they were like 5 years behind, they were 5 years into a 10-year, $1 billion government project, and they were very far behind schedule. And it was threatening the launch date of the space shuttle, space station, I went down there in, I think it was 1995, and we got them back on track. They were grateful enough to me that I got a free ride in the space shuttle simulator, which was very neat.
Nice.
I will tell you that I proudly crashed the space shuttle twice on the return to Earth.
Ooh.
The third time, though, the NASA call pilot asked me if I needed some help. I said, sure.
Yes.
Despite crashing the space shuttle twice in a simulator, I have the business experience to manage and lead projects and organizations. I plan to model the county government like Mauitopia, where everyone does what they love to do and are qualified to do. I'm smart yet compassionate to allow me to find solutions that meet society's needs. Now, GMO is a good example where I can tell you right off the bat, I'm for sure for labeling.
That's
a very hot topic, and we don't have time for that today, but that's a good example of something we would need to make a decision about. I have good experience making good decisions, and I'm determined and young enough to achieve a big dream such as the creation of Mauitopia.
And I do want to mention you have a very interesting benefit event coming up, the walk.
For MS, yes.
Yes. When's that happening? Or
I think it's April 26th. I believe it's a Saturday evening at like 4 o'clock at Maui Community College, or UHMC.
We got to get a PSA going for that. So people, this will be raising funds and awareness for MS.
For MS, which half a million people in the United States have been diagnosed, like myself, with MS. And
is there an organization here on Maui for multiple sclerosis?
It's out of Oahu.
So there's no office here for it?
Not an office, just a group of volunteers who kind of put together monthly meetings.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, probably about 20 of us.
Uh-huh. And where do those meetings happen?
Ad hoc.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a free form putting on. I'm glad you're doing that. That's important because a lot of people are not aware of what even multiple sclerosis is.
Yes, and I definitely used to be in that category 5 years ago.
When did you get multiple sclerosis?
In 2009.
In 2009?
Yeah. And it happened really all of a sudden. And again,
without warning?
Not really. And other people say, oh, yeah, they saw signs, but I didn't see signs of it.
So it could happen to anyone?
I don't want to scare people, but it can happen to people.
Oh.
And
Is it in the genes? I think it's in...
It can be in the genes, mm-hmm. and it's not in my gene pool.
Wow, it's not. So you wouldn't have even known if you'd had a test or anything.
Right, exactly.
Wow. That's kind of frightening, that anyone could, out of nowhere, all of a sudden get multiple sclerosis. It's definitely life-changing.
The good news is it is not a life-threatening disease. Mm-hmm. In fact, the doctor, when I got the diagnosis, said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is you're going to live as long as the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is you have multiple MS or multiple sclerosis. And I've laughed about it over the years because I've discovered that MS also stands for multiple surprises.
Mm.
Because... It really, the symptoms vary tremendously amongst the people who have it. And the medications really don't cure it. They just help prevent it from getting worse.
And do they have side effects?
Yes, and you have to come up with a medication that's good for you and does not have excessive side effects.
Well, you're definitely not playing tennis anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, I respect that you're so active. I'm dealing with those challenges, you know.
Thank you.
You know, some people would just kind of want to just retreat, but you haven't retreated.
Which I did when I first got it 5 years ago.
That would be the natural tendency.
I'm only 46 years old. Mm-hmm. Anyways, now I'm 52. And
how many people have multiple sclerosis on Maui, do you think?
I know for sure of 20.
Is that all? Wow, I would have thought more.
Exactly. My guess is there's probably
a lot more you don't know.
A lot more, right.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're able to hold the gatherings that you have, and I think we're just about out of time. So it's been an interesting show talking about real power.
And I'm Ori Copelman with co-host Cindy Paulus, hoping that many of us keep using or are finding our real power by following our true or soul purpose as we create Mauitopia here on Maui.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I was drawn to a place in the sun, where the ocean and mountain and sky are one. It is part of a much higher plan, Maui land, where the upcountry slides to the sea, and the rainforest waterfall shouts melodies. Under stars at night he touched my hand, Maui land. Maui man, feel the rain, Maui man. He's a boy with a surfboard, the right wave coming somewhere out there. Balancing, dancing, precision on the crest of a swell. Laughing with wild abandon as paradise child.
Center. Maui legislators have secured more than $460 million in capital improvement project funding for various projects across the island. The largest single item was $130 million for